All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of TKO, the Technical Knockout Podcast. My name's Hussein, I'm your host. With me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's up, TKO Nation?
Today, we're going to go over UFC 286, the trilogy between Kamaru Usman and Leon Edwards, and a few other banger fights on this card. Let's do it. All right, so...
Hey, are we going to talk about John Jones choking out Ciryl Gane?
Oh, man, I forgot. Yeah, we should probably do some recap.
That's what I was saying. How are you going to just gloss over? Because I was going to go ahead and just let the TKO Nation know that I learned not to pretend to put yourself on Reddit as another person. They will fucking roast you.
Yeah, yeah, come on now.
It's a rookie mistake, man. What you going to do?
Yeah, no, but John Jones, he made it look easy. You know, it was fucked up. I didn't think he would be like that. You know what I mean? I gave... The crow is tasting the mighty sour. You know what I mean?
Especially because this is like what, the third main event that you've talked me out of?
Yeah, buddy, that's what I do.
Yes, all right, debate captain all day, brother.
And then we missed a card. We missed Piotr Jan versus Merab Dvalishvili. That was fucking insane. That was a really good card too. And it sucks because I had some good picks for that card, but I didn't have time to do the podcast. But,
What did you have for the main event?
Actually, I picked Jan in the main event, but I had a few other picks that were pretty good. I had Volkov. I had, I'm blanking on the card now. I had Volkov. I had Krylov by finish. I was going to sprinkle on Martinez too, just because, you know, I love Martinez by decision. It's my favorite pet every time he fights.
Death taxes in Martinez by decision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've heard me say it before, you know, and he got it done. I watched the fight and I thought he lost, but hey, they gave him the decision, so the prop would have cashed, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. Yeah, it's just crazy that performance that Merab put on Piotr Jan and how easy Jones made it look. Also, we got a new flyweight champion, Alexa Grasso. That was fucking insane.
That's true. How are we not going to talk about Grasso finally dethroning? We talked. You said it though. I'll give you that one. You did say that Grasso could be the one to dethrone her, and she found her opportunity and she put it away.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. Like these dominant champions like Valentina, like Jones, like Ronda, Joanna, like they have that style that like affords them to like a longer fight, you know, maybe not Ronda, but all the other three. And when they get older, you know, you start to lose some of those reflexes and stuff. So you got these young guys on the come up that first off are hungry, are athletic and younger than you, and also have been studying you for like 10 years. So they know your game. You know what I mean? And it was just a matter of time that Valentina was going to lose to somebody. I didn't give Grasso much of a chance, but I did pick her on the upset alert, just in case Father Time caught up to Valentina, which it kind of seemed like it did a little bit. She was a little bit more hesitant and slower reflexes on the feet than she's been in the past. I don't know if I'd take her in the rematch. I know she was winning most of that fight or winning parts of that fight, but Grasso looked so crisp on the feet and she just seemed very well prepared for Valentina. So if they do a rematch, I'm going to be picking against Valentina again. I'm going to go with Grasso. But that's only until Erin Blanchfield gets to the top. Then I'm picking her all the way. You know, I think, Grasso is an easy matchup for Blanchfield.
Well, do you think that warrants an immediate rematch? Do you think that Shevchenkov is going to have to, or her being a dominant champion, she should get an immediate rematch?
I mean, she's been the flyweight champion as long as the division's been open, essentially. So I think it'd be crazy to not give her a rematch, you know? When DJ lost his belt to Cejudo in that second fight, and it was like a close-ass fight, I was upset that he didn't get an opportunity to right that wrong and do the trilogy, you know what I mean? And, you know, Usman's getting the rematch this weekend, so... I think it's just fair when a champion is that dominant for so long that they get that immediate title shot rematch, you know. And it sucks because I don't like the like idea that you have to beat the champion twice to become the champion. You know what I mean?
That's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, it sucks.
But at the same time, it's like if you're constantly like, you know, knocking people down, you know.
Yeah.
It depends. It also depends on what Shevchenkov wants too. She might be like, "All right, I'm gonna take a little bit of rest."
She said in the post fight interview, like immediate rematch, of course. Like, why would I Why would I? Yeah, not,
but you know? most people say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe she takes some time and somebody else fights for the belt in the meantime, and then she just comes back to a title shot whenever she's ready. If that's the case, I think Blanchfield is going to take the belt from Grasso. Maybe they'll do Blanchfield versus Fioro in the meantime and have Valentina fight Grasso in a few months. But yeah. Either way, I think Grasso beats Valentina again, and I think Blanchfield beats either one of them, honestly.
Yeah. Well, did you see the news that they're already penciling in Jones versus Stipe?
Right? For, yeah. It's ridiculous. What do you think about that fight?
I already thought that Jones would be able to compete with Gon. Yeah, my co-host is just a really good salesman.
Yeah.
That one, I would not be surprised to see Jones lose
really?
On the feet. Yeah, kind of, because I think if Miocic connects with him, he's definitely going to go out, or he has the potential to go out.
Yeah.
As it gets closer, I'll probably still pick Jones. I think that Stipe probably presents one of the more immediate threats to him in the UFC. So I think if he gets past him, he has a good shot at going and breaking Stipe's record of title defenses at heavyweight. So right now, the too early prediction for me on that one is Stipe, but I have a feeling that as he gets closer, I'll probably lean more towards John Jones.
Yeah, honestly, I think Jones is going to wash him. You know, I think a prime Stipe versus the Jones we saw at light heavyweight, Stipe takes that fight, but I just don't trust him after a big layoff, after getting knocked out in his last fight. Like, I don't know. It's a tough sell for me. Jones seems to be super skilled for the heavyweight division. You know, he ran through Gon like that. It was kind of ridiculous. This is what I see happening, right? I think after Jones beat Gon, he's gonna fight Stipe. He's gonna defend the belt, and then he's gonna retire. He's gonna be like, oh, what else do they want from me? I beat the top heavyweight, and I beat the GOAT heavyweight. Now I'm the GOAT, undisputed forever, yada, 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 and then run away. I don't think he's going to fight those new generation heavyweights like Tom Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes, Sergey Pavlovich. I don't see him taking those fights. He's going to beat Stipe, who's like 44 or whatever, how old he is, and then he's going to ride off into the sunset and tell everybody that he's the best to ever do it, you know?
Good plan.
And he has a good, you know...
argument?
Yes, he has a good claim to being the GOAT, you know?
Man, you know what prop bet I should have made on that last card?
Huh.
Is that I should have made the prop bet that John Jones gets out of Las Vegas without an arrest.
Did he?
Yeah, the son of a bitch did it. He wow. finally went to he finally went to Vegas and left of his own volition.
He didn't leave in handcuffs, yeah.
He did. I said he could. He's been saying he could do it for years, and he finally showed us wrong. That's two. That's two monumentous victories for John Jones in one night.
Yeah. I even though I was picking Gon all over the podcast, I did put 10 on Jones by submission because I felt like if he was going to get it done, that's the way he would do it. And I made a cool $70 off of that, so that was pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, thanks for the heads up on that one, brother.
Yeah, man, you know how it is. But all right, let's get into this card though. We got a lot to talk about on this new one here.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. So this weekend, UFC is going to be in England, in Leon's backyard for the trilogy fight with Leon versus Usman. What do you think about this matchup, Jordan? Who do you got in this? Are you going to ride with the new champ, or you think Usman's going to take the belt back?
Well, I'm going to tell you who I want to win. I want Leon Rocky Edwards to get that moment in England. So that's what the heart wants. So anything that I say, you know, might be pulled with just a bit of bias.
Yeah.
But I think Usman definitely, it's Usman's to lose, especially if he does exactly what he did last time. So he knows that he has passed two victory in multiple aspects of the game. And you know that he knows that his biggest weakness was getting soft in the last, you know, couple seconds, which, you know, I'm sure, you know, wrestlers know, boxers know that, you know, you get those first shots and those last shots. Like, that's usually what does it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like as long as he goes in with the exact same game plan and he knows kind of like that Hail Mary to look out for, as much as I don't like it, because I think just like Colby, he kind of goes too much into this like character that he's trying not to present. I think he's pretty much right. I think he has all the tools to dismantle Leon Edwards soundly. But, you know, obviously, you know, Leon Edwards is going to stay in there the entire five rounds. If he's not able to put him away, you know, he's going to consistently leave himself open for that. So, like I said, I would say the smart money would be on Usman. I would imagine, is Leon the underdog in this one? I would imagine
The underdog again.
Yeah, I would imagine. So I would say that would be my underdog upset, you know, my upset alert is to go to Leon because he's obviously proved that he can pull it out of the fire.
Yeah.
But I think Usman might just have a little bit more to, although we don't know, you know, this is the first time Usman's been, you know, just straight KO'd like that before, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that could make a difference. That could make a huge difference. Those shots that like normally would just rock him could have a little bit extra bite to it because, you know, that's just the way, that's them's the breaks of getting knocked out, you know?
Yeah, man.
So what do you got?
I mean, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that we see a fighter changed or more hesitant after getting knocked out if Usman does end up looking that way. It's been a fair amount of time since their fight, so I would hope that his chin is recovered. But again, he's like, what, 37, something like that? So, I mean, it could just be Father Time catching up to him as well. Like, it might be a bad combination of both.
Well, and you have to, I think you have to consider too that combination, that 1-2 followed up with the kick worked because of Usman's, you know, if on the 1 and 2s, he would slip it really well because he would go wrestler on it and get really low with that level change and that slip. And then now if he's a little bit hesitant, like you said, to get that low, he stays back in that pocket where Leon might be able to piece him up with those 1 and 2s. And, you know, start really putting it down. I would imagine Usman's going to try and get this to the ground as early and as often as possible. I think his coach, they're going to be like, you know, let's not mess around and just get him down to the ground and just wear him out that way. Because I don't think they're going to want to chance that lucky strike again. I mean, you can't really kick somebody when you're on your back getting ground and pounded.
Yeah, that's true. To your point, I think, what's it called? Edwards, he might be coming in with a little bit more confidence this time around, especially, you know, because he pulled off that knockout, because he's in England. And I think that can make a big difference as well. If we see a timid Usman who is a little bit more afraid to engage because he got knocked out, or, you know, I mean, just Usman doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He's very mentally resilient and he was winning like majority of that last fight. Like you said, he really lost it when he took his foot off the gas pedal. And I mean, he can just, you know, afford not to do that this go around. Like he can just, you know, pressure, like he's done so many times in the past, just push him to the cage and make it a grueling and exhausting fight for Leon. I feel like Leon's confidence is going to be higher than normal. I hope, at least, because it's something that he struggled with in all his fights, essentially. Excuse me. It's often that we see Leon in the octagon not looking comfortable. So I'm hoping that that's a little bit of a change now that he's the champion and he's defending the belt on home territory. I hope that he's a bit more confident and willing to engage with Usman in some of those grappling positions, because clearly he has a little bit of a, you know, he's not a washout in the grappling, as it was hard for Usman to take him down in that first fight. And Leon got the takedown on Usman himself in the first round and got them out and everything. So I feel a Leon win coming along, but it could also be myself, you know, just hoping for that underdog upset again. Father Time is undefeated, like we saw with Shevchenko versus Grasso. And when you see somebody get knocked out at this like stage of their career, they can come back a lot worse for wear. We've seen guys like, I don't know, so many, Chuck Liddell, Frankie Edgar, you know, the list goes on and on. People that would take a lot of, like, you know, big punches in their prime and they get knocked out and then all of a sudden, you know, jabs and straights start to wobble them, you know? So I hope that's not the case with Usman, because I love Usman and I'd like to see him continue to compete. But what more does he really have
he's
to
been
prove?
That's, you know, what I was saying. He's been talking about retiring already. Like, yeah, he already kind of was alluding to that. And just kind of, you were talking about this, I think, the last one, about how, you know, especially those wrestler-based guys, it does get a little bit harder to get those takedowns against, you know, high-level guys. It doesn't even have to be against a high-level wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be someone that's all they do is practice not getting taken down.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leon does have past the victories. That's a good point to make. That if, you know, we haven't really ever seen a confident Leon Edwards just go out there and so that would be really cool to see like Leon Edwards get into that Max Holloway level of confidence, you know, where he just goes into like a zone. You know what I'm talking about?
I would love to see that.
You can see it's there. You can see he definitely has that ability
for sure.
But it's, you know. It's weird. He's like, I don't know. He's like one of those dudes that always like will fight to the level of his opponent.
Yeah. Like we're talking about, you know, he almost got knocked out by Nate Diaz in that fifth round.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
Like I believe if and when he fights Jorge Masvidal, it'll be like he should dust him in the first round or two. And then it'd be like, why is this a 5-round fight?
Yeah.
Like what is going like Rocky, get it up, pull it out, get your head out, son.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Edwards can find some success in the grappling and the clinch in this fight in the second matchup. He had a little bit of success in the clinch in the first or in the second fight rather, because they fought years ago. But in that last fight, he had a bit of success in the clinch. But a big factor for me in that fight too was that they were fighting at Salt Lake City, and the elevation is just so high up there. Edwards trains at sea level in England and Usman trains in elevation in Denver. So Usman was a lot more comfortable in that arena, even though he himself looked more tired than usual. He was a lot more comfortable with that elevation, and Edwards looked so gassed in that second, third and fourth round, which just, you know, adds on to the great performance that he put on in the fifth round, where he was winning that round up until the head kick. You know, Edwards was winning that round. So if it did go to decision that day, it would have been 48-47 Usman. That's something that we can't take for granted, because it was not that long ago that Usman wasn't losing rounds for years and years and years. And now he, you know, it looked like he was going to drop two to Edwards. So I really do feel like Father Time might be a factor here. I like Edwards in the fight on home soil. I think Edwards is going to get done, man. I don't know if it's going to be another spectacular knockout or if it's going to be a decision victory, but I can definitely see him winning rounds off Usman and, you know, maybe hurting him at some point in the fight and finishing him. But, you know, he might even get a submission for all we knew. You know what I mean? It could happen. Like, he could take down Usman, take his back like he did last time. And we've seen Usman, even though he has great wrestling, he doesn't have great jujitsu necessarily. So that could be a factor there. But yeah, I'm just going to go with the underdog here, man. I'm going to have to pick Edwards. You know, I think the momentum's on his side. I think he's going to be more confident this go around. And he knows that he can knock out Usman. He showed it clearly. So hopefully he goes in here with that chip on his shoulder and tries to replicate that performance, you know.
Yeah, I think what I would do in this situation is I would go, you know, 2-for-1 to kind of leverage against it. I would say I would put 10 on Usman and then I would put 5 on Leon to get it done as the upset to kind of leverage against it.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I mean, Usman will probably get it done by decision, right? You know, that's usually how he goes about it. I don't really see him finishing Edwards. Edwards is pretty tough. And, you know, another thing that people like gloss over is that after Edwards lost that first fight to Usman in 2015, he hasn't lost since. You know what I mean? Every fight he's either won, or in the case of that Bilal Muhammad fight, he was winning and then it was a no contest from the knife poke. But so like the guy is clearly doing something right. You know what I mean? That he hasn't lost in one of the most stacked divisions in like, what, 10 years, about 8 years. So, yeah. I mean, I like Edwards. I like both of these guys, but I just think that the momentum is on Edwards' side, and I think he's gonna get it done here.
All right, you swayed me. I'm gonna go with Rocky.
All right, sounds good. Hopefully, we don't regret that.
If Usman wins, I quit.
Come on.
No, I'm just kidding. Nah, it's all right. Them's the breaks, man. It is. That's what he said. I'm excited for this fight, man. Though I'm excited. This is probably the first time in a while I've been excited for a trilogy.
Yeah,
if I'm gonna be honest. So I'm just excited for the fight. I said my heart wants Leon. My money, I was going to go to Usman just for continuity. I'm going to go with Usman, but the heart wants Leon. That's $10 that I'll be very happy to lose.
Word. I feel that. I like that.
Let's get to Gaethje.
Yep, let's do it. So we got Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fiziev. Rafael Fiziev coming off of that awesome performance against Rafael Dos Anjos for the best Rafael in the UFC. Fiziev got it done, knocked him out in the fifth round. Something that I personally wouldn't have expected from him because we've seen him fade in three-round fights. So he caught that second win in the fourth and fifth and was able to finish Dos Anjos, a guy who's not easy to put away, you know. And he picked up this fight against Gaethje. Finally, one of the top, you know, three or four fighters at lightweight is fighting one of the new breed. The Gaethjes and the Chandlers and the Poiriers of the division always seem to be fighting each other in Oliveira. They don't fight, you know, Sarukian and Fiziev and Ismagulov and these guys that are on the come up. So I'm happy to see where these guys get a shot.
There's no choice anymore. It's at a point where, like, they can't fight for the belt. Oliveira's already choked him out. Chandler's busy. Connor's busy. Poirier's got enough star power to kind of wiggle out of, like, fighting him. But, you know, Gaethje's just the odd man out.
Yeah, and Gaethje's always been a down-ass fool, you know? So I'm happy to see him fight down for once. This is a banger matchup, man.
I'm telling you, you're going to see the beginning of a clearing out at 155, I think. I think you're going to see a lot of those fresh faces that you're... It's just eventual, man. Like those lions that are up there, man, they can hold them off eventually. But like you said, follow time comes and it's time to go off into the sunset. But I'm excited to see Gaethje fight. I'm a big Gaethje fan. I love his fighting style. I love to just get in there and bang it out and fight. So I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, man. And you know, he's kind of not to say that fight's not in him anymore, but he seems to have been fighting a little bit more technical these last few years. Not to a fault, but definitely not the Gaethje that we, you know, grew up with in the WSOF and the early UFC when he was in there. But you know, I think he's going to have to bring back a little bit of that dog for this matchup. Fiziev is a super technical striker, super fast, like one of the fastest strikers in the division, if not in the whole UFC. The guy has awesome reflexes on the feet and, you know, is really good with his kicks, like can close the combinations with the kicks, which is just like, it's just a level that Gaethje hasn't really seen in the octagon, you know? So I think to negate that, Gaethje's going to have to really get in his face, push him against the cage. You know, I would love to say wrestle him, but I know that Gaethje doesn't have a bone in his body that's going to let him wrestle in an MMA fight, even though he has such great credentials. I think if he can push Fiziev to the cage and, you know, wear on him, use his physicality and his size, land some of those like brutal leg kicks against the cage and, you know, try to make it look like the Barboza fight or like, you know, the Michael Johnson fight, he might have to get into like one of these brawls. You know what I mean? Because if it stays on the outside and Fiziev is allowed to fight his fight with open space and fighting technical, it's going to be a long night for Gaethje, or it might be a short night because he might get knocked out.
That's my pick. I'm speaking of, that's actually my pick. I'm picking Rafael knocks him out.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I feel like Gaethje's super tough though. I don't know if he's going to go out from Fiziev, but Fiziev has these combinations, man, and the head kicks, like I said, and Gaethje. He hates getting hit in the body, and Fiziev will go to the body. So it's just, all the odds are stacked against Gaethje for me in this fight. I think it's going to be a tough night for him. I think if he does put on like a classic Gaethje performance where he is in the guy's face the whole time, you know, forehead to forehead, you know, ripping hooks and ripping leg kicks, I think he can get some success, especially later in this fight, because both of them get tired, but Gaethje, it looks like he gets tired, but he's really just going back to his defaults, whereas Fiziev, when he gets tired, he has very low output, and it's like kind of scary to see, you know what I mean? And that Bobby Green fight is a great example. Against Mark DiChiesi, he also got exhausted. So, and those are fights that he was winning, you know what I mean? It's not fights that he was like really, you know, had the other guy like, you know, putting great performances on. It was like he was winning that fight, and then he got exhausted. And he was getting tired in the Dos Anjos fight, but then he picked up that second win in the fifth round and knocked him out. I feel like there is a possibility for Gaethje to win the second and third round and win this fight by decision or by a late finish. But it screams to me that he's going to get tooled up on the feet by Fiziev. And even if Fiziev doesn't put him away, he can land enough in that first and second round to pull away with a 29-28 decision. I like Fiziev in this fight, but I really ultimately don't know who's going to win. So I'm just going to bet the over. I think both guys are really tough. I don't see either of them getting knocked out in the first round. So I'm going to bet over 1.5 on this fight. I think it's minus 180. So pretty solid odds. I'm really not sure who to pick here. I'm just really excited for this one. And if there was a prop that you could bet on the fight of the night, this is definitely the one that I would pick, certainly over the main event. I think the main event's going to be more technical than a brawl. I think this fight is going to steal the show, you know?
I got Fiziev by KO. I think he's going to get it done in the second or third, honestly. I think this is probably the beginning of Gaethje's descent into that mid-card status, if I'm going to use a... Well, it's not that he's not... He's entertaining, but he's never getting gold again, whether interim or otherwise. Mm-hmm. So that's out of the question. He got choked unconscious by the second ranked guy, Oliveira, right? And obviously Islam is light year, at least from what are the only data that we have, light years ahead of Oliveira. So Gaethje doesn't have any business challenging for, you know, trying to even get into, no matter, he could put, you know, on a master clinic and he still won't get a shot at the title anytime soon.
Yeah, he'll get choked out by Makhachev almost certainly, you know, for sure. Makhachev will choke
exactly.
Him out.
So I think you're about to see Gaethje become kind of like a gatekeeper, because I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But I think he's just going to be the first of that core group of guys that were at 155 for a while on their descent down, because it's going to be like they're cornered, they got nowhere else to go, and it's just like, all right, I either have to like move out or I have to take this fight against these young killers. And it's just part of it, man. And Justin Gaethje's the type of dude that he's like, all right, if I'm going out, I'm gonna be the first guy running into it. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him win, but I think that within the next couple fights you're gonna see a drastically different Gaethje.
I like the KO prop for Fiziev, especially in the second and third. I don't think he gets it done in the first. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen Gaethje. I don't think he's ever been finished in the first round. Well, except against Oliveira. But like by a striker, it takes some time, you know, to break down those defenses. I'm really excited for that fight. It's going to be a banger for sure. Like, I'd be surprised.
I'll tell you what happens too. I think because you were talking about the body, I think he's gonna tear up the body enough to get Gaethje away from the head, and then just bam, start taking him out.
Yeah, I could see a head kick for sure. Gaethje leaves his head straight up, and Fiziev throws those kicks so fast at the end of the combinations. I could see him ripping the body and then going up top with the head. I think that would be crazy if that really happens, but I can definitely picture it, you know. All right, so yeah, I'm taking the over. Jordan's got Fiziev by KO. Go down the card. Quickly want to touch on Gunnar Nelson versus Brian Barberena. This is another one that has fight of the night potential for sure. Gunnar Nelson, strong grappler, you know, kind of been in and out of obscurity lately because it doesn't seem like he fights anywhere except for Europe. So it seems like every time they get a card in London or in Europe, he's on that card, but you don't see him anywhere else. And he's fighting Brian Barberena, who is the quintessential brawler. Dude is just so tough and will definitely take one to give one to land a big shot. You know, really good from the inside. Sloppy, if you know, want to call him that, but just all heart in that guy. He has shown some weaknesses on the ground, although he's only been submitted twice in the UFC or twice in his career. The last one was against Dos Anjos, who made it look like he had no business in there with him. And I do feel like we might see that kind of performance from Gunnar Nelson this weekend. I think Gunnar Nelson certainly has the physicality and the technique to drag Barberena to the ground and put him in positions that he has you know, doesn't want to be in. If he does get it there, I see him choking him out probably with a rear naked choke or an arm triangle. And, you know, if he doesn't get it to the ground, I can see Barbarina knocking him out on the feet. You know, Nelson's been hurt before. He tends to leave that chin up a little high and has like tall man defense, even though he's not that tall for the division. He'll just lean back and try to glide away from stuff. And, you know, that works for the first or second punch. But when you got a guy like Barbarina who's going to be in your face the whole time, it might not be such a good idea. And we've seen Gunnar Nelson get gassed as well. And by Brian Barbarina, he also has been gassed, but it's usually in fights that there's like 300 strikes thrown. So, I mean, I don't see it being a brawl, but I could see Barbarina getting a finish here. That being said, I am going to pick Gunnar Nelson. I think the wrestling and grappling advantage is just way too high to ignore. I'm going to take him by either submission or decision. Gunnar Nelson by submission or decision.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you too. I think that's a smart pick. I like Barbarina because I love that brawling style. It's always fun to watch. But I think you're right. I think Gunnar Nelson's going to get it done by grappling him and just... what do you think? Decision? I think that you say decision.
Yeah, submission or decision. I don't think he's going to knock him out.
No, I don't see a knockout. I would say probably by decision, but I'll be safe. I'm going to say take Gunnar Nelson, just straight win.
Yeah, that's probably a good bet. He's like a minus 350 favorite right now, so not a ton of value, but if you take him by submission or decision, it's at minus 250, so get a little bit better there. I like
Brian Barbarina. My Fitzy bets is pretty like pretty unsafe, so I want to try and go something a little bit safer on this one.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we'll go down the card more. We got the return of the slept-on contender at women's flyweight. Casey O'Neill's coming back. She's fighting Jennifer Maia, who has been quietly improving these last couple of years, has looked really good in her last few fights, especially with her boxing. She's made a lot of improvements there. She's fighting Casey O'Neill, who is a top tier grappler at this weight class and seems to have that well-rounded game that is so elusive in some of these women's weight classes. I believe she's an Irish fighter, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, Australian, Scottish born Australian. Yeah. And, you know, despite her background, she really does have that great grappling pedigree. We did see her have a lot of trouble in her last fight against Roxanne Modafferi. She won a split decision. I think you have to be crazy to score that fight for Modafferi, but it was definitely closer than we thought it would be. That being said, she's had a little bit of time off from an ACL tear, and she's coming back against a super game and very, slept on, for lack of a better term, Jennifer Maia. A lot of people overlook her in this division because she got, because she lost to Valentina, because she lost to Manon Fiorot. And she generally just doesn't seem that explosive, but she has super clean fundamentals, good takedowns, great grappling.
Isn't Damian Maia her husband?
I don't know if they're related. Maya's a pretty common last name over there. She kind of looks like him.
They're very similar. It's like really crazy. Like now that when you're explaining it, it's just like that does sound exactly like Damian Maia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything on the wiki or anything about them being related, but it's a pretty common last name down there, but she definitely has that grappling pedigree maybe not to the level of Damian Maia, but nobody else does, but she's a very strong grappler, very strong wrestler, has clean boxing, good, 1-2s, good 3-2s, pretty good at pressuring her fighter. And overall, over anything, she's very tough. It's hard to put her away. I've never seen her get finished. I don't know if she's been finished before. Let me check. So she's been knocked out and submitted once, and those are both outside of the UFC in her early career. So, in the UFC, we've seen her super tough and just, hard to put away. I think this is going to be a tough fight. I'm honestly, now that I'm analyzing it like this, before I got on the pod, I was going to pick Casey O'Neill all day. I love Casey O'Neill, and I think she's a bright prospect in this fight or in this future in the division. But this might be a roadblock fight for her. Jennifer Maia, like I said, is just super game and it's not going to let anybody walk over her. And Casey O'Neill is coming off that ACL tear, so we don't really know how good she's going to look in this fight. Ultimately, I am going to pick O'Neill because I think the youth and the grappling and just the overall well-roundedness is on her side. But I think this is going to be a very competitive fight. I won't be surprised if Maya wins or if we get a split decision or something like that. Yeah, I'm gonna go with O'Neal, but it's a very close fight. I'm like 60-40 O'Neal.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm exactly the same way, but I like O'Neal. I think she's you know, she's really exciting, and I'm excited to see her start moving toward the upper echelons. You know, what I've seen of her, you know, like you said, very well rounded. You know, there's not too many places she doesn't seem too uncomfortable, which is a very dangerous individual on the rise. So that, I got her getting it done. I'm not sure on the finish, but I'm just going to take O'Neal, you know, getting the victory.
Yeah. When she was like fighting up the ranks, it was her and Blanchfield neck and neck with each other. And I thought that would have been an awesome fight at one point in time, like, you know, to see the grappling play out against each other. Now, as it stands, obviously, I would pick Blanchfield because she just beat Andrade, where O'Neal just beat Modafferi. So a very different level of competition there. But that being said, I do think that that would be a really exciting fight down the line. If we get somebody like Tyler Santos, Aaron Blanchfield, or Casey O'Neal, or Manon Fiorot, like, this division is a sleeper division for sure. There's a lot of really awesome fighters at women's 125. If we see a title picture looking like that in the next couple of years, it's going to be very exciting to see that belt move around and see the competitive matchups we can get at the top of this weight class. I'm telling you,
in the next couple of years, you're going to see a wave of American women wrestlers coming through the ranks of the UFC on all these places. It's starting to ramp up. And yeah, there's a couple monsters coming through that if they decide to just be like, I'm going to go this MMA route, it's about to be an infestation.
I mean, I don't see why not. Like, you know, it's like if you're a dominant wrestler, why not make the transition to MMA and try to get paid millions of dollars? You know what I mean? Like, if you've already put your body on the line for wrestling, why not, you know, add a couple more tools to the toolbox and become a well-rounded killer? I'm excited to see that wave of female wrestlers come through. For now, the dominant ones that we have are really strong for the weight classes, like, you know, Blanchfield, like O'Neal. These like smothering styles are tough to deal with for a lot of these women's fighters. You know, Tyler Santos to a certain extent has that great grappling pedigree. So, excuse me. Yeah, I'm just really excited for the future of this division and for women's strawweight. But women's flyweight seems to be the women's division to watch right now. All right, going down the card, Marvin Vettori versus Roman Dolidze. This is one that I've been very excited for ever since I saw the booking. We've got Roman Dolidze, who is a buzzsaw, just beat the shit out of Jack Hermanson and made it look easy, put him in a calf slicer and took his back and punched him out. It was a very disrespectful performance and just seemed like a super uncomfortable position to be caught in. He's fighting Marvin Vettori, who is probably one of, if not the most, well, not the most because Robert Whittaker is, but one of the most well-rounded fighters in middleweight. Good boxing, good jab, good 1-2, great wrestling. That's really where he butters his bread, is with his wrestling and his durability. He's super durable. They call him the orc because he looks like an orc and because he's strong like that. I think this is going to be a tough matchup for Dolidze. Dolidze is a killer and Marvin Vettori can't be killed. So he might run into a brick wall in that sense. We've seen Dolidze get tired as well, and Vettori will stay strong for 5 rounds. So I have faith in him to stay strong for 3. I'm probably going to end up going with Vettori by decision here. I think he's going to outlast Dolidze. And even if he loses that first round, I think the striking is going to be the difference, because I don't see Dolidze really getting it to the ground. Vittori's very strong and hard to take down, take off balance. Dolidze is definitely a great grappler. If I'm not mistaken, he even won the ADCC trials, if I'm not wrong. ADCC trials, he got gold in Asia and Oceania. So the dude is a beast on the ground, has all types of submissions that he can throw up and, you know, threaten. I just don't know if he's going to be able to get to those positions with such a strong wrestler like Vettori. I wouldn't be surprised to see him roll for a knee bar or roll for a leg lock on Vettori and try to get him out that way. But if he can't get that takedown or get that submission attempt, I think it's going to look like a Marvin Vettori boxing class, and he's just going to jab and 1-2 Roman Dolidze's head off for 3 rounds while Dolidze slowly gets tired and tired. I want Dolidze to win, but I'm going to have to pick Vettori by decision. I think he's too tough. I think he's going to get it done. What do you think?
I got Dolidze.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, I think he gets it done. I think he submits him. I think he gets it down. I think he puts him away. I could see a TKO too, like on the ground catching him. I don't know. I just see Dolidze getting it done. I think Vettori is overrated.
Yeah, I mean he's a little bit limited in his, you know, approach, but that's a very
I don't see him improving. Yeah. And I can see somebody that has been studying him, you know, figuring him out.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. You know, he is kind of the same fighter he's always been. But it's a good style. You know what I mean?
Everything is a good style until you get figured out. All of a sudden it's a bad style. Like
that's true.
Ben Askren was like, you know, with wrestling, he used funk and everybody was like, oh, funk's really good, until someone's like, okay, we're just going to figure out how to counter it. And then, you know, everything's very stylistic or secular. So I think if he doesn't improve, I think he's going to find himself on the end of a lot of heartbreaking losses.
Yeah.
Which I think this is going to be the start of it. So I'm going to go with Dolidze. I think Dolidze finishes him. I'm going to be audacious. I'm going to say Dolidze finishes him.
Yeah, I mean, Vittori's never been finished, so it would definitely be a huge feather in the cap for Dolidze to get that finish. And Dolidze is a killer, so he's going to look for that finish. It's not like he's going to be happy trying to get a decision victory, you know what I mean? That being said, we did see Vettori kind of get broken in his last fight against Robert Whittaker, but it's easy to get broken against Robert Whittaker. You know what I mean? That guy's so much better than everybody else, it seems like, at that division, besides Adesanya and, you know, maybe Pereira. We'll see if they fight.
Well, what's Vittori's last, like, four look like? Because I know he got embarrassed by Adesanya. He got broken by Whittaker.
He beat Paulo Costa in that fight that was supposed to be at middleweight but went to light heavyweight.
But everybody kind of,
for that, he beat Kevin Holland. So, I mean, yeah, not a ton of huge wins on the resume and a lot of decision victories, you know. I feel like his style is a very tried and true, fundamentals are strong, you know. If I could compare it to somebody else, like, I would probably say it's like Derek Brunson, you know what I mean? Maybe not in the same style, but in the sense that, yes, it is a limited skill set, and yes, you know what he's going to do, but...
He's young, too, though, so...
Yeah, Vittori's young. Yeah, a lot of people forget. Like, he came in the UFC, I think he was, like, 23, so what is he now, like, 28? You know what I mean?
That could 29. Be one of those things, like, he could have got too much too early, and you know, I don't know. Maybe I could be way off the mark with this guy. I think Dolidze finishes him, though. I'm going to stand by that. If I'm wrong, I'll have to reassess my... my stock of the Italian dream. But
yeah.
I think the Italian dream is going to turn into a nightmare.
Hey, I like that. That's pretty good.
Hey, sometimes, yeah, man, it's practice. Got to throw stuff out there.
Yeah. Neither of these guys have ever been finished. So it would be cool to see one of them get that elusive first finish on the other side. But I don't know. It's tough for me to pick a fighter in this matchup. I really like Dolidze and I want to see him continue that rise to the top because he's a breath of fresh air in the middleweight division. But I just feel like Vettori is too strong. You know, he's too physical. And I think he's going to get that done, or get that decision rather. But all right, let's move on. On the prelim, I wanted to touch on this fight because I think it's going to be a great matchup for as long as it lasts. We got Jack Shore versus Makhwan Amirkhani. Makhwan Amirkhani, a phenomenal grappler for 3 minutes, and then he gets exhausted. He'll shoot for a takedown in the first round. And, you know, he has that good grappling and wrestling style, but he doesn't have the cardio to back it up. So, like, when he gets these guys down in the first round, if he gets them down, he can, you know, submit them pretty quickly, or at least, like, drown them with some, you know, ground and pound and positional work. But once that second round starts, it's a huge jump off the cliff for Makhwan Amirkhani, his cardio. And I think that's going to be a huge factor in this fight. He's fighting Jack Shore. Jack Shore is moving up from bantamweight to featherweight in this fight. And he is a phenomenal boxer, likes to go to the body, has a well-rounded game too, will happily take somebody down and beat them up on the ground. But his boxing is really where his bread is buttered. coming off his last fight. He was on a nice little streak at bantamweight. It was looking like he was going to make a run towards the top. He ran into a brick wall in his last fight against Ricky Simon. I was actually there live. It was a super exciting fight. Highly recommend you guys look back at that fight and watch it if you haven't already. But yeah, Simone was just too physically strong for sure, and was able to withstand the boxing combinations and land his own punches and get him down and submit him in the second round. That being said, you know, looking at that fight on paper, you're thinking like, oh, well, Shore's been submitted. You know, maybe Makwan Amerikani can also submit him. He's also a good grappler and wrestler. But the big difference is that Simone has the toughness and cardio to withstand Shore's onslaught in that first and second round. And I don't think Makwan Amerikani has that same, can, you know, afford those same expenses, you know. I see this fight playing out. The first fight, the first round is going to be a bit of a feeling out process for sure. He might be a little hesitant after getting finished in his last fight. He might try to play it a little safe. Once that second round starts, the first round, Amerikani is going to be shooting for his life. He's going to try to get him down as fast as he can. And if he doesn't, he's going to start gasping for air. Second round starts, Shore is going to be in his face from the jump, hit him in the body a few times, and you're going to see Makwan Amerikani diving for completely desperate takedowns when he's exhausted, and he'll either get finished on the ground or get finished on the feet. That's how I see it going down. I got Jack Shore round two. The prop money is very live. It's plus 400 for him to win in the second round, or outright for him to win, it's minus 600. So I like that. I like that bet. You could also go with him over 1.5 rounds on DraftKings. It's minus 135. I really like that prop too. He could get it done in the first round, but it's been a while since he finished somebody in the first round. And, you know, Amerikani, like we said, is pretty tough in that first round. So I got Shore. I think it's a safe bet. I like the prop for him to win in the second, either by submission or by KO. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but I just see Amerikani falling off that cardio cliff again and getting finished at some point in this fight.
Yeah, I think it's a sure thing that old Jackie boy is going to get it done. I think you're right. I think he's just going to outlast him. I've been picking a lot of finishes, so I'm very hesitant to call a finish on this one. I want to kind of play it safe and keep this week's portfolio kind of balanced.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna take Jack by decision, or not Jack by decision, Jack overall.
Yeah, I think you know, he doesn't mind going to decision, Jack Shore, but I think he's gonna come out and try to make a statement in this fight, and especially when you get a guy that's gonna be so exhausted after 5 minutes, in Amerikani, I feel like Shore can find that finish. But it's definitely a safer pick to just take him money line. He's gotten decisions before, you know. And he's comfortable going there. So I like the prop, or I like the money line bet. But for the juice, I'm going to take Shore by second round. I think that's pretty much all I wanted to touch on this card. I mean, the first fight of the night is pretty interesting. Veronica Macedo versus Juliana Miller. Just to, you know, briefly gloss over it. Macedo's coming back after a long layoff where she said that she was going to retire because she had concussion symptoms and it was scary. So very interesting to see her back in here against a a very strong grappler in Juliana Miller. It's a classic striker versus grappler fight, with Macedo having the huge edge on the feet with her Taekwondo background and Miller having a huge edge on the ground with her jiu-jitsu background. I think it's going to be a very interesting fight. It's the first fight of the night, so y'all should definitely tune in for that one. I'm going to take Miller by finish, ultimately. I think Macedo, there was a reason that she was hesitant to come back, and for her to just, you know, brush it off and come back against somebody who is on their way up, like Juliana Miller, I don't know if it's the best idea. She might be trying to fight out her contract so she can go do something else. But yeah, I'm going to take Miller in this fight. The ring rust is a little too much for me. And, you know, I love to pick MMA or women's MMA underdogs. They're a good bet to cash on. I just think Miller is looking like a very formidable force in this division. And I don't think somebody with Macedo's skill set and size can stop her, you know. But yeah, that's just my little pick for the early prelim there. Let's go down the card, go down the betting slip real quick just to consolidate everything. So for the main event, I'm going to take Edwards money line. For the co-main event, I'm going over 1.5 in Gaethje Fiziev. I'm taking Gunnar Nelson by submission or decision. I'm going to take Casey O'Neill money line, Marvin Vettori by decision, and then Jack Shore round two. And also going to sprinkle on a little Juliana Miller action by submission. What do you got, Jordan? What's your betting slip looking like?
All right. So for me, I got Usman money line, but I got my upset alert going to be Leon Edwards. I got Fitzy putting Gaethje out sometime in the second or third. I got Gunnar Nelson by submission in the second or third. I got O'Neill money line. And then I'm going to go, I think Roman puts him out, Delite. I think he puts out Vettori in the, I don't know how, but I think he gets him out of there.
I like it. For my upset alert or underdog pick, I'm going to go with Roman Delite. I think he can, you know, put the pace on Vettori and give him some stuff that he hasn't seen in a long time. I like Delite and I hope he wins, but I'm not sure. Another underdog that I'm looking at is Jennifer Maia. I think she has a very strong skill set, similar to Vettori, where it's just like it's a strong skill set that, you know, it's kind of like a litmus test to see where the fighters at or the fighters that fight them are at. So I like both of those fights for the upset. It's going to be a great card. There's a lot of really good fights on this card, especially in the top main card, but there's some good prelims if you know what to look out for. Definitely the Jack Shore fight, the Macedo fight, Lerone Murphy's fighting, which is, he's always exciting.
Speaking of good fight cards, the next like two are pretty good. The next two or three, honestly.
What's the next
one? UFC Vera versus Sandhagen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Holly Holm's going to be on that card in the co-main event. Then UFC 287, Pierre Adesanya.
Oh.
Somehow Jorge Masvidal has got himself in a co-main event against Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, that card looks stacked. The Adesanya-Pereira fight. You got Kevin Holland versus Ponza Nibio, Kelvin Gastelum versus Chris Curtis, Rob Font versus Adrian Yanez. There's some good fights on that card for sure. I'm excited. I can't wait to do that episode. It's going to be great. I'm going to pick Pereira again. I don't know. I mean, you beat him 3-4 times now. Like, what's going to change, you know? I don't know. Some people just have their number.
It's hard. Well, we'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah.
The TKO fans, the nation's got to go. Who's?
Yeah, we got a long podcast to listen to. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Check back next week. We'll talk about Vera versus Sandhagen, which is a fucking amazing matchup. Anything you put together at Bantamweight is awesome. But yeah, man, let's get this bread this weekend. Hopefully we can, you know, pull it out. Take it easy, y'all. Thanks again for listening, and be safe out there. All right. See ya.